Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Stacy, I'm glad that you just included that note just for a little color, if nothing else. Good grief.
Yeah, I included it because it's just very emblematic of sort of the national debate that's going on around this trial, and none of it really seems to involve the actual legal question at the heart of this case.
I've heard you and other people say that, but in fact, in the courtroom itself, the trial has been about the specifics, right? Who was where, when, does he have a right to defend himself? It's been about that, right?
I mean, it has, but both even the prosecution and the defense sort of used buzzwords yesterday and made little winks to sort of the politics, the heart of the case, right? The prosecution says we should all agree that 17-year-olds shouldn't be walking around with AR-15s, and the defense, you know, talks about how everybody involved that night was a rioter. Was an arsonist, which you know isn't the facts of this case. In fact, they called Anthony Huber, one of the men that Rittenhouse shot, a rioter for committing arson. And there's no evidence in this case that happened.
Were the jury instructions as confounding to you as they seem to some of us?
Yes, because then I spent all weekend trying to discern them and calling up Wisconsin statutes on my computer to sort of figure out what was going on. Yes, the jury instructions are very confusing because they include what are called lesser included charges, which would allow the jury to, you know, not convict Rittenhouse of the more serious crimes he's charged with, but something a little, you know, less severe. And those have their own instructions that come with them. So it gets complicated, which is why even if the jury is, you know, of a like mind when they began deliberations about 30 minutes ago, they still have to work through that that paper. And, you know, I think the verdict form is like 37 pages or something crazy like that. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have some paperwork to do. It's going to take a while.
I wonder if they will, at some point, having determined that he's not guilty of the most serious charges, ask the judge to once again explain to them how they could convict him on some of those lesser charges, the reckless conduct kind of charges. Maybe the feeling
right.
would be okay. that he deserves some jail time, but we don't want to put him in jail for murder. So how do we do that, Judge? I could see them coming back at some point and asking for that.
And that is not unusual when lesser included charges are involved. They're very difficult to understand. And, you know, I've seen it in other cases, so that wouldn't be unusual. In fact, the judge told them before they began deliberations, you know, if you have questions during your conversation, just send a note through the bailiff and, you know, I'll try to answer it.
I thought that it was weak, the fact that in order to prove provocation, the jurors had to follow the drone video to discern that Kyle first pointed his gun at Rosenbaum, which caused Rosenbaum to charge him. I'm not that interested in the provocation. I was more interested in the reasonableness of Kyle shooting him to death with that AR-15 after the guy only threw something at him at a distance and then charged him. I mean, for that alone, you get to shoot to kill? That, to me, is sufficient grounds to convict Kyle alone, regardless of whether or not previously pointing a gun at him, Kyle, quote-unquote, provoked.
Well, there are going to be two questions the jury has to answer. They have to answer both of those questions now because the prosecution wanted the provocation option, and the judge granted it. So they will decide through that drone video, which, you know, I'll be honest, I am not up close to this 4K TV they're using in the courtroom, so I can't vouch for what that video shows. I know, you know, what I've seen of it from a distance.
Yeah.
And if they decide there was no provocation, then they'll get into the reasonableness of it.
I see. If there's provocation, then he does not have, at least this is what the state wants the jury to discern, then he doesn't have the grounds for self-defense, right?
Right. If they find the provocation that he did provoke it, then it would, in essence, negate the self-defense.
It's too bad that the prosecution doesn't have a tape measure and was not able to measure the length of the barrel of the gun and compare it to Wisconsin statutes.
They didn't need a tape measure. They knew the gun was not a short barrel gun. He purchased it at an Ace Hardware. Ace Hardware doesn't sell short barrels, and they know what a short barrel looks like. It's that the statute is very confusing, and legal experts told me poorly written. The judge said it was poorly written. So that the way it's worded, it suggests you can't carry a gun under 18 in Wisconsin, but you can carry a gun under 18 in Wisconsin if it's not a short barrel rifle.
Yeah. So 45 seconds left
sense.
Here. Anything else that you want us to hear based on your observations yesterday?
They drew the jury, and it's 7 women, 5 men, predominantly white, and they began deliberations, about 30 minutes ago. So we'll see where it goes.